Certainly good to be with you this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day. Another opportunity that we have to come out and worship our Savior. For our scripture reading this morning, we'd like to go to the second chapter of Acts. Acts 2. We'll begin reading with the 37th verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as each man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This in itself is a pretty good lesson, so if you don't get anything else, we have some good scripture here, I think. We're going to try to look back at the beginning of the church, and this was the beginning of the church. This is a Jerusalem church that we're speaking about here. We have so many diversions today till... I think we need to go back, and I don't know of a better place to go back to see how the church really started. This is the first church here that we just read about. This is the one that got started here. Of course, we hear, and one of the pleas today and one of the hopes we have today is that churches of Christ and any church is to go back and try to restore the New Testament church, and not only restore it, but to maintain it. That is, all we want to do is to follow the Bible. Just simply follow the Bible. Do what it says and be what it calls us to be. In order to understand what a New Testament church is, again, I think it's so valuable that we go back and look at this first church. Examine the very first church in the book of Acts, the great church at Jerusalem. If a church, now any church, today will follow the example set by that first church here, then that church too will be a New Testament church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. That is in that 42nd verse there. This verse follows the conclusion of Peter's wonderful sermon. We notice there that 3,000 souls responded to the message and have been immersed into Jesus. These believers must have faced some daunting tasks. How would these people get along? There's 3,000 of them. How would they get along? Since they came from different parts of the world, they had different customs, they had different languages. They couldn't even understand each other talking. How would they worship? How would they serve the cause of Christ? The key to their unity, their worship, their service is found in that verse. They continually devoted themselves. Sometimes I think this may be our problem today. Are we truly devoting ourselves as we should? These first believers who were brought together in the first church really had some challenges. They could not go down the street and place membership at another congregation. We have people get a little disturbed and they leave, or in many cases just start another church. There was only one church in town. This is the beginning of it. They couldn't shop for a different church where they'd be more comfortable. Their solution. What was their solution? What did they do about it? They took personal responsibility for the church. Now, this is an example for us today. Are we taking any personal responsibility? They were continually devoting themselves. That is, they took it upon themselves to make the church work. They didn't lay the job on the apostles. The apostles were teaching that, but they didn't do that. They didn't wait for others to do the work. There doesn't seem to be any them and us at that particular stage of the church. They took their personal responsibility seriously as they were continually, this is ongoing action now, devoting themselves to it. They never took it for granted that the church would succeed. They gave themselves fully to learning the apostles' doctrine, to worship, to fellowship, and to prayer. And we're going to be looking at those different phases as we go along here to see how they put them into action here. The thousands of members of this first church accepted the task of making the church succeed instead of waiting for somebody else to make it and do it. A New Testament church today will be made up of people who do the same. Individuals who do not complain about what they're doing up there at that church or down there at that church. But they get in there and pitch in and make the teaching sound, the worship meaningful, and the unity a reality. For any church to be like the Jerusalem church, we need to step up and devote ourselves continually to worship, to study, and to fellowship. We will then have taken a church where we worship that much closer to God's will. The apostles' teaching mentioned here, the first thing God tells us about the church is of their constant devotion to the teaching of the apostles. Now, instead of the apostles, of course, right here is the apostles' word, or the words of Christ and all that. They didn't have that, of course. The church knew it needed this attention to the doctrine for several reasons. First, as yet they had no written revelation about the life and the work of Jesus Christ, which we have today. They had to rely on the inspired words of the apostles. For the church to be what God called it to be, the members had to have a fair grasp of what the good news really was. They had to listen to those apostles. They had to really be ingrained. Now today we think, well, we've got this word. We may read it someday. Someday? How many Bibles are gathering dust? Secondly, if they were to spread the gospel, they had to understand it themselves. We have to do the same thing today. How do we understand it? It's in the Bible here. And lastly, if they were to be united, they had to come to understand the Word of God. Not only read it, but understand it. We're not told the details of how the Christians focused on the apostles' teaching. We do see them getting together in many different places. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2 and 46. If we want to be a part of a New Testament church, we need to devote ourselves to learning, understanding, and sharing the work of God. Paul will tell the young preacher Timothy in later years, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scriptures, to exhortation and to teaching. That was in 1 Timothy 4 and 14. The reading of the word, the explanation of the word, and encouragement of the word will move any church towards being a New Testament church. This is important because too many of us still want to hear what we'd like to hear, not what God said. Paul tells Timothy about this in a later letter. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. This is Paul speaking to Timothy here. Too often, we argue about things that are not even in the Bible. We just think they are. We just go about some things here. We want to hear our favorite topics or issues discussed. We don't want to hear the Bible. But a New Testament church focuses on what God said, just as the very first church did in Jerusalem. Now, what about their fellowship? What kind of fellowship do we have here? The first church was devoted to fellowship. This included getting together for worship. We find this in assemblies and in the homes. This included sharing so that no one did without the necessities of life. We notice that there. But the important part of this is they constantly were devoted to getting along with one another. This is what's important, getting along with one another, loving each other, and knowing each other's needs. A characteristic of a New Testament church is the degree to which its members strive to get along. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. This again is in Philippians 2:1-4. Paul writes these words, of course, to this church here at Philippi. And why did he do it? They were having some problems. He was addressing some problems. And we as human nature, we have some of those same kind of problems here. These people there at Philippi, they're just having trouble getting along. The solution? The members of the New Testament church are to love each other, be united with one purpose, and count the other person, even though he may not even love him, may not even like him, you're still better than yourself. To make your church more like the Jerusalem church, you need to devote yourself to fellowship, to making unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3. Make that a living reality. When a church bickers and fights, when members can't stand one another, the New Testament church has not been restored and is not being maintained. You need to get out of that one. Now, what is the breaking of bread? I think we have here, we're going to break the bread here today. But I believe we may be taking it too lightly. Just a routine thing. We just sit back there and it comes around. We crack the bread and we drink. I think we may just be taking it too lightly in many cases. What does it really mean? This is a solemn event here. The first church, we find, devoted itself to the Lord's Supper. Although this term, of course, breaking of bread, can be ordinary meals, the meaning here is indicated the Lord's Supper. I think the scholars universally agree upon this. The early church was united. And one thing that brings unity is an understanding of what the Lord's Supper is all about. Around the table of the Lord, we see ourselves for what we are, and we understand that all of our brothers and sisters are equally dependent upon the Lord's death. The Lord's Supper is a reminder of what Jesus did for us. Do we think of that every time we commune? What Jesus did for us. Remember, His body was broken. His blood was shed. Why? All of this was done to forgive us of our sins. And the table, we see our sinfulness again, our need for His blood, again our unity as believers, based on His sacrifice again. The Lord's Supper serves as an equalizer that brings all of us to brokenness and dependence on the work of Christ. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 26. Over and over again stresses that eating and drinking are to remind us of what Jesus did for us. He tells us we proclaim the Lord's death. Jesus' death was for the remission of sins. We proclaim our trust in Jesus, sacrifice for us when we eat. We proclaim that He died for us, all of us. So in the eating of the Lord's Supper, we find our unity again. We have fellowship and that we find our unity again here. All of us are sinners. All of us are forgiven by His blood. We proclaim this when we eat and drink at the table of the Lord. Now we find another point that was brought up here, and this is prayer. What part did prayer play in this church? We're talking about this first church. Now, another characteristic of this New Testament church is its devotion to prayer. You cannot watch the Jerusalem church without seeing how much and how often it prayed. Prayer. We all hear prayer. Prayer is a call upon God to act in our lives. Prayer asks God to do what man cannot do. Now unto Him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God is able to do more than we can imagine, and that is according to the power He works within us. God can open doors. God can soften a hard heart. God can grow churches. Are we praying for this? That's what that early church did. That's what we should be doing today. The early church certainly understood this, and they devoted themselves to prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance or steadfastness and supplication, that means humbly, for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds. Now this is Paul speaking, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6:18-20. We find here, very evident here, that Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. Yet he asked the Ephesian believers to pray for the success of his teaching. He knew that God could work effectively even through a man in chains. So pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. If we're going to restore and to maintain the New Testament church and Christianity, we must restore the devotion to prayer. Now, what about the Lord added daily? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, that's Acts 2:47. We know that when Peter made his message there, there were 3,000 souls responded. And here it's going on in 47 saying they're still adding daily. Much is being said today about how the church should grow. But God gave us the process centuries ago when He showed us the very first church of Jesus Christ. when we make the effort to stand on the Word of God in all its truth and challenges, church will grow. When we make it our aim to be united in fellowship, that church is going to grow. When we eat the Lord's Supper together, understanding what it represents to us as individuals and to us as a body of believers, that church will grow. Very important part here. When we devote ourselves to prayer, the church will continue to grow. There are many other qualities found in this. We just hit the iceberg here of the Jerusalem church and tells us about how to be a really church here. Now, I hope you'll take a challenge here and continue and read this, and hopefully we'll look at some of the others at a later date. But we are told what the very first group of baptized believers did, and we are told by God what the results was. Now, to me, this is very important, and I hope we all will go back and study this. When a church today makes these same efforts, that church will reclaim the place of the New Testament church, and God will add people to that church. If you want to be a part of a New Testament church, and if you want to see that church grow, devote yourself to the Word, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Thank you very much for your very kind attention here this morning. Hopefully we've touched on a few things that might help us in our religious walk here on this earth. We hope and pray that it will. If there is anyone subject to the gospel in any manner whatsoever, we ask you to come while we stand and sing the selected hymn.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.